Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Gospel, The Good News of God Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org Subject of this audio To whom does God address or offer His Gospel? Chapter 1 God's Sovereignty in Defining to Whom His Gospel is Addressed After exposing in the various previous subjects of the series that the gospel of the Lord is one and the unique gospel of the Creator, of the kingdom of God, of Christ, of God's love and righteousness, of peace, of heavenly salvation, of the power of the Lord, of grace, of the promise, of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. We would like to return to some considerations that were mentioned in the first materials of this same series regarding, specifically, the target population, audience, or recipients to which the same gospel of the Lord is directed. Throughout the other subjects previously exposed about the gospel of God, we mentioned several texts that clearly show that Christ came into the world in the flesh and died on the cross of Calvary to make the provision of forgiveness and remission of sin for all human beings, without any exception. Nevertheless, or despite the scriptures making it very clear that the gospel of the Lord is an offer of salvation and life directed by God to all human beings in their most diverse generations, many people, also throughout the generations, insist on seeking ways to deny the reality that God offers the gospel to all people without distinction between them. Since the beginning of the exposition and proposition of the gospel of God to the world more objectively or straightforward, denials that this same gospel is directed or offered to all people, without distinction, have also been raised to try to create possibilities that could come to justify some people of not needing to receive this gospel without, however, saying directly that they do not want to receive it. Considering that God's gospel is essentially presented as an offer, it does not need to be received by all people, for if it had to be accepted, it would not be an offer. However, in the attempt of avoiding that the free and such direct possibility of choosing or rejecting the gospel is presented so explicitly, many people try to disqualify the scope of the gospel proposition by saying that it is not indeed directed to everyone. Thus, the ways in which people seek to say that the gospel of God is not for everyone are the most variable, but any proposition exposed in this sense is a distorted proposition concerning the truth announced by God or a proposal that is opposed to the words of the Lord, which expressly state that 1 Timothy 2:1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or an eminence position, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. In each generation, for instance, there are people who claim to exclude themselves from the target population or audience of the gospel, saying that they are not holy enough to receive this gospel or that they are not worthy to receive it because they are sinners. However, they forget or try to deny that the gospel is not aimed at those who do not need it, but it is aimed precisely at those who need to receive salvation and remain in it. In the world, there are also people who argue that they are too old to receive what God offers them and that they have waited too long to accept this gospel. There are others who say they have strayed from the Lord and are no longer worthy of God's benefits. There are people who claim to be too young to walk in the gospel and want to experience life first, and so on. Nevertheless, all these arguments are nurtured by the people themselves who create or copy them from others and who, in this way, do not accept what the gospel itself defines concerning them. There are still other people who argue that Christ came to a specific group of people due to some territory, nation, or religion in which they are inserted, which, in turn, is also unfounded in the scriptures of the Lord and contradicts the whole redemptive work performed by God in Christ Jesus. As the offerer of his offer of salvation and the newness of eternal life, God is the one who defines to whom he wants to offer the gospel and what he proposes to give through his grace. And it is not the people who define those to whom the Lord has directed and addresses his eternal gift of love. Although the acceptance of the gospel of God depends on each person wanting to receive it according to heavenly grace, through faith, the definition that it is offered to all human beings, without distinction, has always been and is a definition eternally established by the eternal Lord and cannot be revoked or changed by any creature in the universe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed.